What's up, Pels fans? We are back. Now, remember, guys, we are up on iTunes and Stitcher, so make sure you subscribe and rate us there. But today, we have some more first-time birdies. We have Johnny and Junda, and like the Cousins brothers, they are a package deal. How are you guys?
We're doing well, Preston. We're doing real well.
Yeah.
The brothers back at it.
Doing wonderful. Yeah, we are.
You can't separate
the intro,
guys. All right, you guys, the trade winds are blowing. The rumor mill is churning, so let's get right to it. Zach Lowe first reported the Pelicans meeting to discuss a one-year deal in Louisville today with Rajon Rondo, the former Bull King Maverick Celtic. Woj noted that there was serious traction. The team believes they can pair him with Jrue Holiday. And Will Guillory of the Times-Picayune said that Rondo and Gentry Demps had an excellent meeting. Woj reported the deal could be done by as soon as tonight. Zach, let's start with you. The Pels sent Alvin Gentry and Dell Demps to his hometown in Kentucky in the midst of the Summer League playoffs. Are you surprised they're showing this much interest in a guy who was waived just a month ago?
Rondo! Rondo can't shoot. We all know that. I know that. Johnny knows that. You know that, Preston. Everybody knows that. But they kind of need – we need another ball handler. And for all his many, many faults, Rondo is a really good ball handler, is a really good defender. And I can see a Holiday-Rondo backcourt being just a thing defensively. And Rondo's setting up our two bigs. I can see that working.
All right, Johnny. The Pels, like Zach just said, they're desperate to find a ball handler to pair with our $125 million point guard who had a disastrous six turnovers a game after we acquired Boogie last year. But Boogie called Rondo a brother, and Rondo went to Kentucky. The Pels have already engineered an offense around Boogie.
Breeding ground.
Yeah, brought in his buddy Nick Young for a visit, his brother Jaleel to Summer League. They hired Chris Finch. Are you worried the Pels are trying a little bit too hard to appease DeMarcus Cousins right now?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think that the Pelicans as an organization, they really want to prove to everybody that they're a family-first organization, and that can mean a lot of different things. But I do think that they want to appease their big man. I mean, this could be, you know, the best two-man big man tandem that the league ever sees. You know, if they can retain Cousins and have him for, you know, 3+ years with Anthony Davis, you know, with Rondo, it kind of confuses me. I mean, I get it. You know, Gentry has really stressed towards the end of the season that he wants to see Jrue Holiday playing more off ball. And, you know, I guess the numbers say that he really struggled facilitating, you know, DeMarcus after he came in, and you watch it, and he did seem a little uncomfortable, especially in the beginning. They seemed to really start figuring it out the last month or so of play. But it concerns me because they're going to need to, if they're going to sign Rondo, they're going to need to get another shooter for something really, really small from a salary perspective, and I'm not really sure there are many options on the market right now, and we might talk about that a little later, but it concerns me that, you know, they're pairing DeMarcus, you know, maybe with Rondo, and then you have Solomon Hill, and you kind of can see a huge trend of non-shooters on the floor. I think Rondo's going to help a lot of ways with communication on the floor if they do sign him, but you know, you can kind of see the red flags before they even sign him.
Yeah, fans are irrational by nature, and we've been rightfully so giving Rubio a great deal of grief because of his number chasing in Sacramento, his Rick Carlisle duels in Dallas, his Instagram wars with Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade last year. However, he almost single-handedly took down the number one seed in the East. It was the Celtics at like 55 wins for what it's worth before he broke his right thumb. They were in danger of being swept by the Bulls. He averaged a triple-double in 33 minutes. He had an insane 5-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio. Zach, about a week or so ago, Pelicans fans were really upset that we lost out on Ricky Rubio to the Jazz. And in a lot of ways, this is the same player, only the two of them have different histories. Do you think that Rajon Rondo is getting a bad rap right now with Pels fans?
No, I mean, everything that Rondo everything that's negatively said about Rondo is earned. He's a head case. We all know that. I mean, I thought when he got to Dallas, the Dallas would be primed to make a run in the West, and it turns out he and Carlisle hate each other. So everything he does, he brings onto himself. He can still play. There's no doubt. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Like, so he almost took down the one seed last season in the playoffs, and he tripped somebody in the playoffs. So he's got that fire, I guess, wherever that's about. I can be talked into it. I can be talked out of it. Maybe it's not ideal to have a head case like Rondo in the locker room in such a critical make or break season for the franchise, but maybe you need that ball handler because you spent $125 million on a guy who might not be a ball handler. And that's just super.
That's pretty quick.
Johnny, that's a good point, Zach.
Yeah, go ahead. The biggest complaint about Rondo has to be keeping him engaged and relatively happy over the course of an entire season. Alec Cassell wrote that. I just read it word for word. It's up on thebirdrights.com right now. Mm-hmm. He has a great bond with Darren Erman, supposedly, from Boston. So maybe he can get the best out of Rondo on an 82-game basis. What do you think his relationship with Boogie and Darren translates to in New Orleans? Do you think they can keep this guy involved and engaged throughout the entire course of a season?
Well, DeMarcus loves Rondo. That's nothing new. You know, Rondo, I think, led the league in assists when he was with Boogie. They clearly loved playing together offensively. But we saw with DeMarcus that he occasionally would take defensive plays off. You know, you watch that when he was a Pelican, and that was a huge eye-rolling moment for a lot of the press when we were, you know, when we were on press row and we really hypercritically analyzing DeMarcus, because that's what we did after the trade, right? Well, if you're bringing in Rondo, my concern is that Rondo loves to take plays off. If you're having two people in a defensive, you know, alignment taking a play or two off every once in a while, you know, it doesn't matter how good of a distributor Rondo is. I mean, let's be real, you know, you just can't function correctly there. I really like Erman. I think he's done a really good job with the defense, and I think that he put DeMarcus in really good situations toward the end of the year, and I think that's why you saw such an improvement. Do I think that Rondo's going to become 2008, 2009 Rondo? I mean, come on, probably not. But, you know, I can see the level of engagement with people that are familiar with him. And I think it is a good sign that Alvin Gentry and Demps are courting him, and they're going to his home and they're saying, look, you know, we want to, you know, show you what this family is about. And I think that's probably going to be well received by Rondo. You know, my concern is just, you know, when your best players or your vocal leaders are the ones taking plays off, you know, will that ultimately rub off on the rest of the team?
All right, this is for you, Zach. He made a good point in there about Rajon Rondo taking plays off. Chris Finch supposedly was brought in to New Orleans to kind of do what he did with Nikola Jokic in Denver, run this point Boogie system where Boogie gets the ball at the elbow and all the shooters kind of run around and find places for open looks. Now with Rondo in town, you can't really do that. So would you anticipate a lot of 1-5 pick and rolls, or do you think these guys just kind of do what Westbrook and Durant do, the your turn, my turn sort of thing? Just looking at some of the numbers, Drew Holiday typically is a 40% three-point shooter. Last year with Boogie, it dipped down to about 32%. Solomon Hill, for 5 months of the year, shot around 35%. Not too shabby. DeMarcus was about 40. Anthony Davis dipped to 29, but that's below his career average. Who do you see as being the engineer behind this offense? Do you think we're turning it over to Rondo now at this point?
I think I'd rather still be Cousins, because what do you bring in Chris Finch for if he's supposed to be this center whisperer type of guy? That's what he did in Denver with the Joker. That's what he's supposed to be doing with Cousins. Why bring him in, or why have him if you're just going to have Rondo? And I feel that's going to really screw some things up offensively with the sets, because like you said, Rondo can't shoot. So you'll be playing a lot of 4-on-5 offensively. You can just ignore Rondo, or I can see Demas is just leaving him out there all by himself, just saying, you want to take it? Here, please shoot this. You can have it all day. Someone, Solomon Hill, you want to shoot it? Please shoot this. Please take it. So that's where my hesitation with Rondo is. I feel like as good of a distributor as he could be, you know, at what cost? Because I feel like that might throw a wrench in the offense the whole franchise probably wasn't expecting coming into this summer, where we thought, okay, so we have Finch. He's going to be the guy to talk to Cousins. He's going to be our point guard because we don't have a point guard, but we have Jrue Holiday for around $26 million. I think there might be a bit of an identity crisis, and luckily, at least they'll have a training camp to get it all figured out. It won't be like when they added Cousins midseason last year and you had to learn on the fly. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's going to be playing this way. All right, let's see how this goes. I don't know. I feel like they had a bit of a good thing going towards the end, and the Rondo thing might make that a little tricky.
Johnny, what they're doing in Houston right now, pairing Chris Paul and James Harden, one of the most important things about it from Mike D'Antoni's perspective was this idea that you would have a primary ball handler on the floor all 48 minutes. So if James Harden is playing 34 minutes, let's say, the other 14 minutes, he would have Chris Paul at there at all times engineering the offense. Do you see some kind of world where Rajon Rondo starts the game, plays maybe like 4 to 8 minutes? He was only averaging 26 minutes a game with Chicago last year. And then he sort of just pilots the second unit with, consisting of maybe Etuan Moore, Jordan Crawford, Dante Cunningham, and Anthony Davis, a sort of up the court, like high flying offense, you know, speed, a lot of running around with Rajon Rondo just being totally in command. Could you see something like that being successful?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that one of the biggest players the Pelicans are going to miss from that perspective is Tim Frazier. You know, Tim Frazier is a similar player to Rondo, where he doesn't really shoot. He doesn't really take long shots. I don't have, you know, the percentage of shots that Rondo takes, you know, as opposed to Tim, but Tim was somebody who was an initiator, and he would, you know, put people in the right spot. And I could definitely see that, you know, role being, you know, put onto Rondo. But let's not forget about our good friend Michael Jordan Crawford. Our boy loves to have the ball in his hands, and, you know, he did a pretty admirable job with that second unit. And, you know, it was for a month and a half or whatever with him. Will he be able to kind of keep that production for 82 games? That's unclear. Having Rondo be in that role, I could, you know, that'd be a plus. Because Rondo, you know, maybe Rondo comes off the bench and they have Etuan Moore start. I don't know if Rondo's going to feel comfortable with that. Who knows? But, you know, Rondo's skill set is unlike anybody's on the roster now. So you could convince me that him in a specific 20-minute, you know, a game role would definitely be a net plus, especially when you're staggering Boogie and Anthony Davis. Absolutely.
Zach, one of the primary reasons I think the Pelicans need a distributor like Rajon Rondo is they had so much difficulty getting the ball to DeMarcus Cousins in the post last year. They by all accounts, couldn't do it. So Boogie would have to start with the ball at the three-point line, do that thing where he tries to dribble between his legs and just bounce the ball off of his foot and cause a turnover. So by having Rajon Rondo out there to get him the ball where he likes, it kind of makes it as if the two of them could be paired together. Where do you see Rondo fitting in the most as far as with Boogie on the floor or Boogie off the floor and just putting shooters around Boogie, which is originally what we were planning on doing this offseason, is targeting someone like an Ian Clark or a J.J. Redick we rumored about. We really never could afford him. But just the shooting, just to go deeper on that, how do we get all this to work, or do we just primarily focus on the defensive side of things and becoming a top 10 team consistently?
Yeah, no, actually, I feel like if they go the Rondo route and you have Rondo and Holiday and Solomon Hill and Cousins and Davis on the floor, that's a potentially really good defensive team. And it's a football adage, but defense leads into offense. I mean, why not be like a souped up version of the grit and grind Grizz? I mean, why not what I could see that being the team's future, and it comes complete. I mean, Rondo could be the Tony Allen guard, the guard who defends everybody but can't shoot worth a damn. So,
yeah,
why not just sign Tony Allen, Zach?
Oh, look at that! There's Tony. He's out there. He is out there.
If we want a Tony Allen, why can't we just sign Tony Allen?
Yeah, it's a question. It's a pretty dangerous lineup having Drew Holiday out there, Rajon Rondo, Solomon Hill, Anthony Davis coming off his all NBA defensive honor. So it could be a pretty nasty lineup defensively. So we'll see what happens. But we've got enough in on this. Let's talk about some trade whispers. We've had a lot in the past 2 days, including a four-team trade that's been evolving, including the Rockets, the Knicks, the Suns, and the Pels, and of course the Reggie Jackson for Etuan Moore Ejinsa swap that came out 2 days ago. Let's go back to Johnny. The hang-up is currently over Ryan Anderson's albatross of a contract and opposing teams wanting nothing to do with it. In addition, the Knicks are said to want Eric Bledsoe back in the trade and not Brandon Knight, who the Suns are pushing. All signs are pointing to Melo leaving to go to Houston. What's it going to take to get this trade done? Let's start with Johnny.
What's it going to take? Ay-ay-ay. I don't know, Ryan Anderson, he's got to meet somebody in the Knicks organization and just show him that beautiful smile. I don't know what else is going to, you know, convince them otherwise. Once Ryan shows them how charming he is, maybe they'll agree to it. But, I mean,
he really is,
you don't want to take on – he really is, and he's very charming. You know, you got to give it to him. If they don't love Ryan Anderson's contract, I don't really understand a way for it to get done, but I do have an alternative trade scenario marked up if you want me to lay that out for you.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So the Knicks would get Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza. The Rockets would get Carmelo Anthony. The Pelicans would get Brandon Knight, Jared Dudley, and the Suns would take on Ryan Anderson's contract, Omer Asik's contract, and a little Etuan Moore. I don't know how you convince the Suns to do that trade. I don't know how you get a couple sweeteners in there, but the numbers work, so that's my job's done here.
Zach, I think getting Brandon Knight is something that's going to need to facilitate this trade forward, although I'm a little hesitant to put Trevor Ariza anywhere other than Houston, because that was one of the great reasons that Chris Paul chose Houston in the first place. Ryan Anderson and Omer Asik on the same team, I don't see that happening either. What's your take on this? Before you just break down the trade in general, what do you hope the Pelicans are going to get out of this other than dumping Asik?
I would love for them to get rid of Asik. I mean, I think everybody would, but the thing about everyone knows how bad of a deal that is. So I feel like there's no chance they're going to be able to shred Asik's deal this year. I feel like they're going to be stuck with him forever. If they can get Knight, like Johnny had talked about, that made me go ooh very softly. I love Anderson as a person. I don't want Anderson back on my basketball team, please. I don't know how you could have, maybe offensively it'd be pretty cool to see Anderson, Davis, and Cousins, but man, that'd be a mess defensively. Like all the good work that they did this year getting up to this top 10 defensive rating they strive for, that's gone if you have Anderson back. I'm also wondering when Johnny, does Phoenix still have Alex Lynn on the roster? Because I don't know how you can have Alex Lynn and Omer Asik on the roster. So.
I want to say they renounced his restricted rights.
I don't think they've
renounced him yet. I believe he's unrestricted free agent. I believe.
There's a qualifying offer out to him right now.
You're saying they have a need for a 7 foot tall Euro that you can't play? Because we have a guy, so maybe we can make this happen.
Right. I mean, they're down one. That's the incentive here. They would be locked into Tyson Chandler and Omer Asik, you know, at $24 million, you know, for 2 and then 3 years. But, you know, Etuan Moore, he's a nice guy.
I don't want to lose Etuan Moore. I just, if I can hold on to Etuan Moore, that's my Moore and Crawford are like, that's me hanging up. If I have to give up either of those two, that's me hanging up.
Yeah. The difficulty.
I don't know. Yeah.
The difficulty here is unloading Brandon Knight and Jared Dudley, because it's going to be hard to put both of those contracts someplace. And either the Suns or the Knicks are going to have to take Ryan Anderson, because Ollie wrote a great article today about why the Pelicans just – that's a marriage that's just not going to happen again. It had its run, and now it's done. So one of those two guys are going to have to take him, and we can't take both Jared Dudley and Brandon Knight. The Knicks aren't going to do it. They need to develop Hernan Gomez and Kristaps. They don't have any minutes to give those guys. It's going to be difficult. Can you guys see this falling apart, Zach?
Oh yeah, I can see anything falling apart. Because I'm a cynical person, but you know.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I have a group chat with two of my my good friends who are aimless Knicks fans. We call it Sad Knicks Talk. And
that's all Knicks
nightly.
Talk.
Yeah, I know. I just coined it that for them. And the hysteria of just, you know, we'll get anything for Melo now is kind of the thought process, which is depressing. But the numbers, a team has got to give here, and they got to say, okay, we'll take on Ryan's contract. And let's be clear, Ryan is not a bad player. I don't know. Hopefully no one's gotten that take from us. But 3 years, $20 million for any player that is a defensive liability half the game, you know, it's just, it's a lot to swallow, and how he would mesh with Porzingis, who knows? When you're already swallowing Joakim Noah's $18 million a year contract for three more years, yikes. I mean, that's a lot of money to swallow for some pretty one-dimensional players. I don't even understand how the deal is at the, quote, two-yard line. I don't understand how it's even coming into fruition personally.
It would have to involve picks is the only perspective I can see from it. But Zach, the Rajon Rondo rumors pretty much kill the Reggie Jackson rumors. And this 4-team trade can't take place unless somebody is willing to take either point guard Eric Bledsoe with a lot of picks or Brandon Knight. If the Pelicans sign Rajon Rondo, there's no way that trade takes place. And there's no way that this trade takes place with Reggie Jackson for Etuan Moore and Alexis Ajinsa. We've only got two more years, really, to go through the Omer Asik. I can't say his name for the life of me. We've only got 2 years left of him. Is the best thing to do right now just take 1 year Rondo and just play out this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think with that, the Rondo thing with all this, that sounds like hope for the best, but just kind of go all in with Rondo, and then you just hope you can talk this Cousins thing into working. It's really as well set up as the Pelicans are. The Pelicans are also kind of screwed too. If this blows up, this can blow up tremendously, or it can work out wonderfully. You know, it won't be resolved until they actually get on the court. And I want to go back to one thing Johnny about Anderson, about him being a pretty one-dimensional player. He's not a pretty one-dimensional player. He's a pretty, comma, one-dimensional player, because he's a gorgeous man.
Right. I mean, you can sell that extra $10 million for his smile. I think that's a good bargaining chip. I mean,
I would move to New York just to look at Ryan Anderson if that were to happen. So.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You guys are the worst.
I could see him and Kuzmingas becoming really good pals.
Oh my God, stop right there. This is a PG network. Johnny, let's go back to you. On the telecast yesterday when the Pels were playing the Hawks in Vegas, Joel Myers noted that the Pelicans had a shooter in the works. And obviously he was talking about Kentucky point guard Rajon Rondo. But let's just say that he wasn't. If he wasn't, who do you think he was referencing on the market right now? We've got Aaron Aflalo. We've got Ian Clark, Luke Bamute, KJ McDaniel, Shabazz Muhammad. David Nwaba is recently a free agent, although he's obviously not a shooter. Johnny, who do you think he might have been referencing?
Anthony Morrow is still on the market. Is that right?
I'm going to search it right now. Go ahead and talk about somebody else while I find out.
I was a little surprised that, you know, the Rondo deal came out, because I felt like Ian Clark, though you would assume his value is pretty high from a salary perspective, and you would think that would be a pretty solid fit, you know, a guard off the bench who is a proven three-point shooter. I could see somebody like a Jason Terry coming in. I think that the Pelicans, you know, based on, you know, previous signings like a Jarrett Jack last season, I think that they value older guards that are proven, because right now they are developing Quinn Cook. And I think that the room to develop a lot of these players is just not there for them. It's, you know, why you saw them get Michael Jordan Crawford, and, you know, they got Etuan Moore last offseason. So I could see them getting a player like that really is just a catch and shoot player. And Jason Terry wouldn't be a terrible option for them, especially because he's a communicator and he seemed to really influence the Bucks fairly well. I can't tell you, I watched an enormous amount of Bucks games last season, but he seemed to really gel with the younger core there. And I think that knowing Dell and the front office, that's the kind of player that they're looking for.
Anthony Morrow is a free agent. However, with Chicago last year, he averaged 9 minutes a game for a team that was an eighth seed in the West. The 3 years previous to that, he never broke more than 14 minutes a game. So for whatever reason, this guy and his 43% three-point percentage can't make it onto the court. So I have to think there's just not something turning on for coaches out there. Zach, do you have someone in mind that you hope the Pelicans are coming close to agreeing to terms with?
Yeah, I didn't actually realize Cajun McDaniels was a free agent, because I've always liked Cajun McDaniels. Actually, it's weird. I have a crush on him, having not actually seen him play much. He could walk up to me wearing a Cajun McDaniels jersey, and I wouldn't know it was him, because I actually don't watch it. But something about that name, or just like raw numbers, I seem like, oh, yeah, that guy seems good. He sounds like he'd be a good ad. I also thought Aaron Aflalo, he passes my is he good? Yeah, he's good test. So if they can get Aflalo or McDaniels,
is he good?
I've always thought he's kind of good.
Question. Is he good?
Oh, forget watching the guys play. If he's got a cool name and you like the way he dresses, let's
the gender test.
Let's see. Last year, Aaron Aflalo, this is really captivating podcasting right now. He actually averaged 41% from three-point range in 26 minutes per game on a sparsely populated three attempts per game. So nothing crazy, but he's got a 39% career three-point shooting average. So you never know. Let's get all the Sacramento Kings over in New Orleans. What do you say to that, Johnny?
I like it. It just pains me that they made the decision to waive, release, whatever the terminology is, Omri Caspi. Because when that deal first came down, and you know, based on what we, you know, the Pelicans were sending out and what the Pelicans were getting when they got Omri in that deal, I thought, perfect. He's a guy who can play both the three and the four, and he can shoot, you know, near 40% from three. What other player would you want? And the Pelicans front office, you know, when he injured his thumb that first game, you know, they made the decision just to get rid of him to bring somebody else on. I don't really understand, you know, have a player like that, and you're telling, you know, when you're explaining that you need more shooting on the team, and you just release that shooter, you know, I would love to see them getting the Aflalo type player, but it kind of brings us back to a few months ago when you had that shooter that maybe wasn't a two guard, but was someone that could space the floor, and then he's gone. So, you know, that's a move that kind of, you know, put the Pelicans in a, you know, a little bit of a bind, especially for how much money a lot of these shooters are getting. You know, JJ Redick is, you know, getting money from the process. So, you know, I would love to see an Aflalo type player. You know, you just hope that they're not committing to multi-year deals with some of these older fringe players.
Johnny, for all the NBA obsession with getting shooters and pairing shooters around big guys like Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, last year the Pels really struggled in the final stretch of the season with not having a creator, somebody who could break down the defense. We all thought that Jrue Holiday was going to do that, but it ended up being Jordan Crawford off the bench. Where would you prioritize creator versus shooter right now? Which one has the higher level of importance as to the Pelicans team needs right now?
Wow. Well, that's a great question. I think that at the end of the day, you need to look at three dead roster spots. I think you need to look at Omer Asik, deal and player, a player that was significantly thinner. I mean, this man, I could actually, if I wanted to hug Omer, which he probably wouldn't let me after games, I could have put my entire wingspan around him. That's how skinny he was. At the end of the year, it was a little alarming.
And I'm going to need you to stop hitting on NBA players on my podcast.
Hitting or just, you know,
just overly open, throwing yourself unabashedly at these players. We're going to hear from their lawyers pretty soon.
2017.
I'm joking. So, 2017, man. Anyways, Omer plus Alexi, who just is not going to see a lot of minutes. And you're probably going to see Diallo kind of step in and take a lot more of his minutes. And then Quincy Pondexter, who theoretically should be that 3-and-D type player. Well, if those three players aren't seeing the floor, then those are three dead contracts. How are you replacing them? Right now you have Etuan Moore as a spot-up shooter, this Axel Toupain, did I pronounce that right?
Toupain.
Axel Toupain. He's apparently a great shooter. You know, so it would be beneficial for a team like the Pelicans to get a creator, and maybe that's why they wanted a Rajon Rondo, because trade talks maybe fell through with the Pistons and the Reggie Jackson, who I didn't think was a great fit, but we won't get into that. But it really comes down to three dead roster spots and how are you going to maximize that space? And, you know, you hope that, Toupain will, be that 3-and-D player. And you hope that, Quincy Pondexter, who's been working out and who has been, you know, feeling good, you know, as of now, is able to come back and provide that 3-and-D wing strength. But, you know, you do wonder why they're looking at a Rajon Rondo, because, you know, there aren't that many playmakers like him still in free agency.
Toupain's actually had a pretty disastrous summer league. Now we're even conjecturing whether or not he's going to make the team. Of course, Quinn Cook and Cheick Diallo have been two of the brightest spots in the entire tournament of the 24 teams. They've been sensational. And an unheralded guy named Jalen Jones has been really effective for us as a shooter. And he also drew a lot of contact yesterday. He got to the free throw line 11 times. Before we get to summer league, Zach, what do you think for the Pelicans? What do you think is higher on the need board? Do you think it's creator or shooter?
I'd say creator. As good of ball handlers as Davis and Cousins are, they still need someone to, you know, set up, get them to those spots, and then they can go. I think they can do a one-man, two-man type of thing, but I think it would just go infinitely smoother if they had a creator. Also, I feel like I've been sitting on this for a couple minutes, but I feel like Quincy Pondexter has kind of elevated himself to a mythological status, not in the sense that he's really good and you don't believe how good he was, but mythological in the sense that you're not sure he exists anymore because nobody's seen him the past couple of years. So,
I, with my zing, with my own two eyes, have seen him in the locker room in the last 2 years. Yeah. So he could still, I mean, it could have been a facade. He could have been, you know, somebody else pretending to be Quincy. But I believe he exists.
Yeah, but I mean, there's also that there's that blurry photo of Bigfoot. But I mean,
you heard it here first, folks. Quincy Pondexter does exist. Reported here on the Bird Rights podcast. Johnny, let's talk some Cheick Diallo. He was talking some trash to Hawks first round pick John Collins yesterday. John Collins scored 25, but Diallo had the last laugh. He got 9 points in the fourth quarter. He ended up beating the Hawks in the first round of the playoffs. We were the 24th seed, and we ended up winning our summer league contest. He was really distressed on Sunday when they lost to the Hawks. He couldn't get off the floor. I think it was 10 minutes after the game. Were you aware that Cheick Diallo had this kind of like fierce competitive spirit?
No, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. You know, I think the most interesting thing about Diallo is that the locker room regards him as the funniest person in it. At least before Jordan Crawford got there. Jordan Crawford and Boogie now are they like to kick it in the locker room, but Diallo, Anthony Davis believed, was hilarious. So to hear, you know, to hear and to see that he has this fire in him is a little heartwarming. You know, he's got a little bite to him. I love that he's filled up. I think that the way that the Pelicans are developing him, you know, I think I could see him as a Clint Capella type player, and he's got a little bit of a face up game that, you know, he was kind of showing off during summer league. So I like what they're doing with Diallo, and I love his attitude. And I want to see him in a game. I don't want to see that fire in a game, Preston. I want to see how that works out, because the two bigs ahead of him, you know, Alexi and Omer, they're just not going to see much of the floor this season. So you hope that he can be a spark plug off the bench.
Zach, I was going to ask you if you expected the Pelicans to re-sign Donatas Mantiunas or maybe even bring back Terrence Jones. But I think we can all agree that Cheick Diallo's showing out in summer league has been even greater than we anticipated or possibly could have hoped for. He's been averaging over 20 points a game and really turning a lot of heads with his unique blend of footwork and his left-handed floater and just his nice touch and overall game. Do you see him playing like a substantial amount, like 20 minutes plus this season?
Yeah, why not? If he is ready, I guess they're the ones that know what this quote ready means. So why not? There's going to be a role for, or a need, I should say.
Did I lose you, or are we taking a dramatic pause?
I'm still here.
Okay, that's all that I need, Johnny. We don't need Zach anyway. Quincy, no, we'll wait for him to come on back. But for now, Quincy Pondexter, I'm looking at one of Ollie Cassell's articles from 3 weeks ago, and he's working out pretty hard, and he's got some tweets up right. That say, don't switch on me, I got big plans, and it says, feeling much better, progressing daily. Johnny, do you think we could have a Quincy Pondexter sighting not only in the locker room, but on the floor?
Do I think? I think maybe by December would be my best guess. I mean, this is someone who has had to take two, you know, redshirt years, you know, basically in a row. And the fact that the Pelicans have still retained his contract means that they see him as a part of this long-term, you know, core. So, again, it kind of harps on this family mentality that the Pelicans organization seems to have. They want to take care of their own, and they want to show people that they're taking care of their own. And by committing to Quincy the last couple seasons, through the good and the bad, I think it shows a lot about their commitment to Quincy. So I think you're going to see him on the floor. It's impossible to say if he's going to be a huge contributor, you know, if he's going to be anywhere near the level he was, you know, a couple seasons ago when they were in the playoffs. People kind of felt like he was that linchpin, that missing factor, that if he took a little bump up in production, that he would really help them. It's too hard to say if he's going to get to that level, but he, you know, has been working out for two straight years, has had setback after setback, and you just got to give the man credit that he's still gearing back and ready to go.
You know what, Johnny, I have to stop you with all this family stuff and taking care of Quincy Pondexter, because I'm pretty certain that the Pelicans aren't even paying Quincy Pondexter right now. It's all health insurance is covering all of his salary. And I don't hope that they move on from him. He is an asset at an expiring rate of just $3.9 million. He could be a perfect salary cap filler for one of these incoming trades. But like you said, he was such a linchpin in 2015, and his communication on defense and his spot-up shooting was so useful in that run where we beat out the Thunder for that eighth-seeded spot. But I have to stop you because, you know, we see Jarrett Jack and Lance Stephenson and Omri Caspi get hurt, and the Pelicans immediately
drop them. Absolutely.
So I can't let you get away with that. Do we have Zach?
No.
We don't have.
Yeah, I've been back for a couple minutes now.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Zach. We completely just ran off the rails without you. I'm so glad that you're back. What's your take on Quincy Pondexter? Do you hope that he comes back?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I hope it comes back. I mean, he's a great guy. He always talks about how he wants to do well with the city of Fresno outside of his once his playing days are over, even currently right now. I mean, I like to joke on Pondexter, but he filled a role that this team needed. I wrote about him a couple times his first year here. So I've got a soft spot for Pondexter. I hope he comes back. I really do.
And I hope he contributes too for this team and for the foreseeable future. What a great contract the Pelicans would have their hands on. It's too bad with all the knee injuries. I hope he comes back at least 200% of what he was. Let's talk about some NBA rule changes. Halftime is getting a very strict 15-minute from buzzer to buzzer. Any team coming out on the court late will be penalized, a delay of game penalty. All four periods will only have two mandatory timeouts. They'll happen at the 7 and 3 minute marks instead of the 9 minute mark previously. Timeouts have been cut down from 18 to 14. There's only 7 full 75-second timeouts, no more of those 20-second timeouts. Which one of these stands out to you? Are you excited for a quicker NBA game, Zach?
Oh yeah, I mean, say the Pelicans make the first round of the playoffs and to play, you know, Golden State. Those West Coast games, those are killers, especially with all those timeouts. I got kids to teach, man. I can't stay up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning for a game. You know what I'm saying? I gotta go to bed. So anything to speed this pace of play up. There's some kind of a grumble millennial joke in here that I'm sitting on, but I can't think of it right now. But you know, anything to keep me from looking at my phone, I guess.
All right,
Johnny knows what I'm talking about. He's a millennial.
Yeah, I'm
part of the tribe.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for your attention. You can follow Johnny at jharv47, and he contributes to Bird Rights as well as The Advocate. You can find all of his work at clippings.me/jharvey. And then we've got Zachary Junda at Zachary Junda. That's easy enough. We call them John and Junda, and he teaches sixth graders. So it's almost time for school to be back in session, so we won't keep you up much later. Thank you guys so much. You got anything you want to plug going forward? Let's start with Zach.
Nope.
All right, Johnny?
Not really.
Zach, you have nothing going on in your life?
I mean, I saw Spider-Man.
Do you have a good
again,
movie recommendation?
So. Go see Spider-Man and go see Baby Driver and see if you're as confused as I was, but enjoy it at the same time, because that's how I was. I was confused, but I liked it. I don't know what that's about, but I liked it.
All right, good enough. Johnny, what about you?
I don't got that much going on, but I'm working on a documentary, and a lot of that's going to be – I'm going to be releasing a lot of information about that soon publicly. So to all of our loyal fans out there, follow me on Twitter, and I will definitely be giving you updates about that pretty soon.
Thank you so much again. If you like what you're hearing, go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, give us a great rating. As always, go to thebirdrights.com for all the latest news on all things Pelicans. Big high five to Ali Cassell, doing a magnificent job over on the site. And I'm your host, Preston Ellis. If you have any questions or any input on the show, just tweet at me at Preston Ellis, and I'll get to it as quickly as I can and post whatever question you want on the show. We'll answer it right here with whichever Bird Rights team member I'm paired with. So for now, until we get some more news to report on, thank you guys for tuning in, and let's go, pals.